Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
World leaders, including President Obama, speaking at the UN this week, have not mentioned it. But there is a critical diplomatic issue brewing in U.S. universities. Iranian students in particular, studying in the U.S., have been having a hard time re-entering the country if they leave. Others are having a hard time getting a visa in the first place, and now that will get even harder. Last month, President Obama signed a new law that denies visas to Iranian students whose study might prepare them for careers in Iran's energy industry and nuclear program. Daniel Golden, editor-at-large for Bloomberg News, has been following this. And Dan, what's going on here? Because early in the Obama administration, the U.S. seemed to be reaching out to Iranian students.
That's right. The U.S. has been reaching out to Iranian students, and the number of Iranian graduate students at U.S. universities has been increasing very rapidly. But what's happened, I think, with the increasing international tension is that Iranian students are now not just being denied visas, but they're being denied them under a provision that basically accuses them of seeking to enter the country to commit espionage, sabotage, or steal sensitive information.
Well, and by when you say the number of students has been increasing, it's tripled over the last 5 years. That's quite a bit. And, you know, we remember that before the revolution decades ago, Iranians sent huge numbers of students to the U.S. So this isn't new that Iranian students come to the U.S. And you write about one in particular who's been impacted by this thinking, as you said, Majid Abbasi. He was researching welding. What happened to him?
Well, he was a postdoc at Brigham Young. He'd earned his Ph.D. He got a job offer from the University of Alabama, went home to visit his parents, and ever since he's not been able to come back, denied a visa under that same provision I mentioned, accusing of espionage or sabotage.
To that, his response was, "Holy cow, seriously? I'm a scientist, and I'm not involved in politics." He came up with this great idea for cleaning contact lenses, and it's being taken to a company, but he can't participate in it now.
That's right, because of economic sanctions with Iran. As long as he's in Iran, he can't participate in this company that's based on his scientific research. Each of these cases I looked at with these Iranian students who were denied visas, the universities and the faculty members that they're working with say that these students don't have access to sensitive information and have clean records as far as they can tell. You know, I'm not privy to whatever classified information, obviously, the government might have on them, but they just appear to be kind of caught up in the groundswell of tensions between the U.S. and Iran.
By the way, we're going to get to what some listeners might be thinking, which is, well, so what? You know, we have these strained relations with Iran. We have to be careful. But why the new law, which, well, I guess the answer might be that it seems more directed to students who might work in Iran's nuclear energy program. And, of course, there are increased concerns over that.
Yeah, the purpose of the new law is to make sure that academic policy aligns with sanctions policy so that the State Department should deny visas to students coming to the U.S. to study in things like oil or nuclear energy. That could affect quite a few Iranian students who are getting their degrees here in petroleum engineering. In addition to the policy aspects, it's an election year. Cracking down on Iran is a popular position to take, and I think the Obama administration felt it had no choice but to go along with Congress on this issue.
Well, is there also concern over things that you heard? For instance, you did an article about military secrets that might be leaking from U.S. universities. And there are certain restrictions on what foreign students can do. Foreigners have to hold certain government licenses to work on sensitive projects. And you talked to someone, Michael Deal, an international trade lawyer in Virginia, who said that, you know, unlicensed foreign students are being used on these controlled projects that they shouldn't be on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there is growing concern, I think, in the federal government that academia might be kind of a weak link in terms of protecting our research and technology from getting to countries overseas where we don't want it to be. There's always going to be a tension between kind of the government's attitude and academic culture. I mean, academia nationwide, a huge number of our science graduate students, probably close to half, come from foreign countries. There's three levels of sensitivity of research. There's basic research that is open to anybody. There's export-controlled research where if you're not an American, you need a license. And there's classified research where everybody needs a security clearance. And the export control, the middle level, is where the concern is, that because of the great number of foreign graduate students at U.S. universities and the kind of academic culture of academic freedom, that foreign students may be working on projects that the government would rather not give them access to.
Well, and you were saying that there's sort of a culture clash here, because in academia there's this idea of openness and sharing information and knowledge, and obviously that clashes with aspects of the government.
That's right. You put it very well. Another consideration might also be that professors are glad to have their work published and also commercialized. And if the government considers their work to be controlled, then that puts an obstacle in the barrier to disseminating their information more widely.
Well, look, you've taken a close look at this. Where do you think this falls? Again, I can hear people saying, well, I'm sorry that some Iranian students are put out and not able to do their research, but we have a bigger concern, which is security.
Well, these Iranian students, a lot of them are coming here not because they support the Iranian regime, but because they want to get out of the country. They just seem to be caught up in a broader issue. One Iranian student who I emailed with put it very poignantly. He basically said that the Iranian students who can't get into the United States, they feel that the world's against them and they have no options because they're not happy with the regime in Iran. It doesn't let them study freely and speak openly, and yet they can't come to other countries. So some of these students are really desperate and in despair, and your heart has to go out to them.
It's a tricky one. There's an irony here. You say the Iranian government is actually really okay with these students coming here, because one would wonder, wow, there's such tension. Why are there so many students allowed to come here from Iran?
Yeah, I think the Iranian government probably feels, from what people tell me, that these students are a potential cause of trouble there, and they'd just as soon have them be in the United States.
What's at stake here? One of the people you spoke with said that about a third of all the startup companies in Silicon Valley are started by a foreign student who came to the U.S.
Yes, as I mentioned before, almost half the graduate students in the U.S. in the sciences are from foreign countries, and they bring a lot of energy and ideas and entrepreneurship to America, and it would be a pity if that, you know, we cut off that spigot.
Has there been any case of an Iranian student in particular caught trying to take material or get information out?
No, there is a broad concern in the government that Iran has stepped up its espionage activities with the U.S., but there's been no Iranian students prosecuted by the Justice Department in the last 5 years for that kind of activity.
Daniel Golden, editor-at-large for Bloomberg News, will link you to his writing at hearandnow.org. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And a quick look ahead. Tomorrow, who's James Bopp? Who's Trevor Potter? And what do they have to do with the flow of money in campaigns? We'll find out tomorrow. Back in 1 minute, here and now.